We read our text here a little while ago from the story that happened on the cross. And you know, I think about this time of year, and especially with Christmas, and we have so many different symbols. Among the symbols that we most enjoy is the Christmas tree. And I'm sure many of you, like us, you share that joy of having that Christmas tree in your home and having all of those presents that you place under the tree. You know, the difference being that God placed his most precious gift not under the tree, but on a tree. And that's exactly what the message of Christmas is all about. Because 2,000 years ago, God so loved the world that he gave. And it's because of that that we can even celebrate Christmas here today. You know, I'm reminded, by the way, speaking about the trees, that, you know, those trees really kind of came into importance back hundreds of years ago. It used to be, by the way, that Christians and churches used to kind of long for different ways to try and communicate the message. And they had something that they used to call the paradise tree. And the paradise tree was something that was used as they would literally take a fir tree, and they would bring it from outdoors in, and they would hang some fruit on that tree. And they would have preachers who would explain and teach the story of the original sin, and of Adam and Eve, and how that they were placed in this perfect environment, a paradise, and how that they were told to eat of all of the trees save for one, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so as they would have those plays, they would begin to explain that the whole reason why we needed Christ is because of man's sin. You know, the Bible tells us in Romans 5 and verse number 12, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In verse number 15, the Bible tells us, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. You know, really, it's the story of two trees. One that happened back in the past, back in the Garden of Eden. One tree, that's where it all began with sin. But then another tree 2,000 years ago, that cross, where Jesus Christ, the Savior, hung. Really, God's gift hung on a tree. God's gift to you and I. You know, I think you, by the way, can even make a case that, you know, knowing the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and we don't have a lot of time, but that story, we need to be reminded that when God told them that you cannot eat of this tree, that when they did, they were basically stealing. They were taking something God said was not theirs to take. That made them, by the way, two thieves. That's why it's interesting that when Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, when he dies on the cross, he is flanked by two thieves. And there are two thieves who have found their way to that cross because of their misdeeds, because of their sin. And we find that the Bible tells us that two of those thieves, they each have an opportunity to consider the claims of Christ as he's hanging on that cross, and really showing the two different decisions very diametrically opposed. As the one rejects, the other thankfully receives. He receives God's gift. Now, what did that one thief do? Well, let me just share with you briefly three things. In the first case, he acknowledged his sin. The Bible says here in verse number 40, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, and we indeed justly? You see, before anybody can be saved, they first of all have to acknowledge their need of salvation. You know, we live in a world of over 7 billion people, and 7 billion people that are walking to and from this earth, and that they are different in so many ways. They are different from their nationalities. They're different in their languages. They're different in their cultures. They're different in so many different mannerisms, but one thing they all have in common. They're all sinners. They're all sinners in need of a Savior. You know, that's the first thing that the thief, that dying thief did, was he acknowledged that, listen, we indeed justly, we are sinners. But secondly, he acknowledged Jesus' sinlessness. Notice as we continue in verse 41, and we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. In other words, we don't know a whole lot about this particular man. We don't know about the other thief. We don't know their names. We don't know where they were from. We don't know anything other than the fact that they are in there commonly because they have stolen. They are thieves. But we find that this particular man acknowledges that Jesus did nothing amiss. You know, in the world of thieves back in those days, thieves knew an awful lot. They lurked in the shadows. They heard the stories. They certainly knew the gossip. They certainly heard everything. They probably even from a distance may have even encountered Jesus a time or two. But yet these thieves, both of them, stood there or hung there on their separate crosses. The one rejected, but the other one said, you know what? This man has never sinned. And that's really what he is claiming. By the way, he, along with others, gave that same statement as Pilate said, I find no fault at all with him. There was nothing wrong. Jesus never, ever sinned and never one time disobeyed, never one time lied, never one time did something evil. He was always sinless. The Bible says that he knew no sin so that he could be the substitute for us. What did this thief do? First of all, he acknowledged his sinfulness. He acknowledged, secondly, Jesus' sinlessness. But then third, he asked for or accepted salvation through Jesus. In verse number 42, we read those words where this thief said, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. You see, it's all about a choice. It's all about receiving. It's all about making that your decision. Nobody's ever saved automatically. Nobody is saved just simply because they walk into a church or because they happen to be part of a family of Christians. Nobody is saved apart from making that their decision. That's why the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. As it says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In this day and age, in which we have a lot of people that assume that they are going to heaven just simply because of their life, just simply because of their church, just simply because of their background, I want you to know it's never, ever, ever that way. It's only when you choose to make him your Savior, when you accept him as Savior. By the way, this man here, he called out to Jesus. He called out in faith. He trusted him as Savior. And notice, by the way, interestingly, what Jesus said in verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me, notice, in paradise. Now that's interesting. Even the term that Christ uses at this point is interesting. Why? Because that's the same term that reminds us where man lost it, where man originally sinned. Where did man sin? In a paradise, in the Garden of Eden. In other words, it's almost like Jesus is portraying here heaven as being paradise regained, whereas paradise was lost in the Garden of Eden. It is regained in heaven when you choose Jesus, when you choose him. Again, we normally put our presents under the tree, but God put his most precious gift on the tree, on the cross. It's a gift. And by the way, that means that it is nothing that is earned. You know, let me illustrate. Suppose you, maybe coming up, would have an encounter with your boss at work, and maybe it's payday, and maybe your boss has a piece of paper, maybe even that direct deposit slip, and maybe indicating here that you are being paid. And as he's handing you that check or that cash, that payment, he says to you, now listen, I've got your paycheck here in my hand. Now I'm going to give it to you as a gift. You would say to him, no, boss, listen, that's not a gift. I earned that. And you would be right. You'd be right that you earned it. Therefore, it is not a gift. A gift is only a gift if it is undeserved. That's why you and I need to understand at the heart of salvation that salvation is nothing we deserve. It's something God gives. It's something that we do not merit, but it's something that God has for us. It's not something that you and I, that we equal, that we somehow have coming to us because of all of our good deeds. Oh, listen, I'm here to tell you, it doesn't matter how many good deeds you may do. You could never do enough. You can't earn it. You don't deserve it. You don't merit it. But I'm thankful that God gave it. Salvation is a gift. And by the way, that one thief understood that. And that one thief, even though his entire life, think about that, his entire life had been spent here in misery and in sin, but by faith, he chose that day. He chose to receive Christ. By the way, it is never too late to receive Christ as Savior. You know, it's only a story, but in the novel Quo Vadis, is found the story of an old spy. An old spy who poses as a Christian, who goes to the meetings where the Christians assemble during a day in which Christianity is being persecuted. He goes out and he roots out and he discovers, like a Judas Iscariot, a betrayer, he discovers where the Christians are meeting. And he reports back to Nero their names, and he reports back, and those that he reports are suddenly apprehended. That they're placed in jails. They're placed even in that great Colosseum where they become the entertainment as their bodies are put before wild beasts and they're dragged out by the scores and they're mauled to death. They are killed. They're tortured and Christians are dying. And it's all because of this one man. Well, the Christians finally discover in the story, they discover who the traitor is, who has betrayed them. And all of a sudden, they realize that this man here, and almost as if, you know, it's almost like they think in their mind, oh, I'll tell you what, you know, at the bottom of hell has to be this man. He's beyond reach. However, there's a surprise in the story. Because one day, as this man is now at the Colosseum, and as he's watching as the Christians are being marched out, all of a sudden a moment of conviction penetrates his heart. And while he's seated there and he hears their testimonies and while he sees their righteousness now being destroyed, he has a convicted heart. And all of a sudden he realizes he's been wrong. And he realizes that their Savior is the one Savior. And he suddenly proclaims in that moment of decision, that moment of faith, I am a Christian. And he even reports back to Nero and he publicly states, Nero's wrong, the Christians were right. And as they even place him now to be executed, he cries out that one name in the end. And he cries out, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, listen, there's nobody beyond saving. There's nobody beyond the reach of God's saving arm. But it requires faith. Oh, that thief, while Jesus, God's gift, was hanging on a tree, he realized three things. Number one, I'm a sinner. Number two, he's not. Number three, I need to accept him. It's as simple as that. In the story, we saw very powerfully dramatized how that one father's gift resulted in a girl being able to live. A girl that he wonderfully then came to adopt and love. Part of a new family, part of a new identity, part of a new life. And as she grew up to become that doctor, her life took on greater meaning as the story continued. By the way, that story can be your story as well. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, like the thief, see God's gift on the tree. Acknowledge you're a sinner. Acknowledge he never sinned. And accept him as your Savior. Father, I pray that you'd speak to hearts and lives here this morning. As Lord, we've seen powerfully demonstrated through film and even the pages of Scripture, the story of God's gift on the tree. We put our presents wrapped and all prepared, and we placed them under a tree. But 2,000 years ago, you took your one gift and you hung him on a tree to be received. Lord, I pray that somebody here this morning that doesn't know you as Savior today would take that gift, would receive you as their Savior. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and Christians are praying, how about you this morning? Before we finish, before we have our invitation, maybe there's somebody here this morning that would just simply like me to pray and say, preacher, listen, I realize that this morning I'm sort of like that thief. I'm sort of like somebody who has their money. I'm sort of like that man in that story, that Quo Vadis, that suddenly realizes it's true. And preacher, this morning I'd like to, in this moment, in this solemn hour, I'd like to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I'd like to acknowledge I'm a sinner. Acknowledge he never sinned, and I'd like to accept him as my personal Savior. Would you like to do that this morning? Just say, preacher, pray for me. That's my decision this morning. I've never done it before, but this moment, this hour, I'd like to receive Christ. Would you just pray for me? Just slip your hand up anywhere across the room this morning. I'd like to receive Christ. I'd like to know him as Savior. Today, this moment, like that thief, I'm going to declare he's my Savior. He's mine. I'm going to take that gift off of the tree. Can I see your hand? Just slip it up anywhere across the room this morning. I'd like to accept salvation. I'd like Jesus to be my Savior this morning. Could I see your hand? Just slip it up. Just slip it up. I trust, by the way, that everybody here knows Christ, because you know what? That story needs to be told. And I trust that you have been thinking about that here this Christmas season. Maybe this morning you'd say, preacher, I'm saved, but listen, I trust that you would include me in this closing prayer, this prayer here near the end of the sermon, to even be more of a witness and more of a testament. I know of many that know not Christ as Savior. And preacher, pray that I'll be a better witness to them. Pray that I'll be able to tell that old, old story. Pray that I'll have opportunities with my relatives. Pray that I'll have opportunities with my friends. Pray that I'll have opportunities with those that I work with. Preacher, I'm really burdened about that. What a great story this morning. It's a story of salvation. Preacher, pray for me. Could I see your hand? Christians that like prayer this morning, you know of those that are not saved, you know of those that are lost, but you'd like to have prayer that you could be a better witness, a more effective witness, and tell others about Jesus Christ. I see those hands. Anybody else, slip it up. Pray for me, preacher. Pray that I could be a better witness. Why? Because God gave his most precious gift and put it on a tree. That's what Christmas is all about. Well, I know we focus on the birth, but the birth was just simply God's mean of getting the Savior here to this earth. But then his life, his death, his resurrection, that's salvation as well. Father, I pray that you just speak to hearts, and Lord, during this invitation, I pray that you'd use it. And Lord, help us to even realize it's as simple as receiving a gift that was placed on a tree. So Lord, I pray you'd help those who raise their hands, Lord, that are praying that they could be a better witness. And Lord, if somebody didn't raise their hand for salvation, Lord, may they have the courage to even step out and come and trust Christ even this morning. We give this invitation to you. Let's all stand. The instruments are going to play. You step out and come.